In John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58, that Tyler read in our scripture reading, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And many of his disciples, other than the 12 that is, that are there, are troubled by his words. And I'd have to say, I think I would have been at first as well. But I think I would ask questions. But we see in verse 66 that they didn't. They gave up and left him. But my lessons is not on what caused them to leave, but I've told you the things that about this to set the stage for what comes up next. And in this chapter, and that's what my lesson's really about. And if we look at verses 67 and 68 of John chapter 6, and we see Peter making one of his wiser statements. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter recognized that Jesus had the words of life. He may have not understood what Jesus had just said about the bread situation, as you can see in that upper part of that. But he knew that Jesus had the words of eternal life. And where else was he going to go? And that brings me to the title of my lesson this morning. Where could I go? And I hope that from my lesson, we'll see that Peter was right on in his comment that he made. He had hit the mark here once. Peter made a lot of stumbles, spoke before he thought, but this was one that he was on the mark. Because where could we go? Because Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus is telling those that he's teaching here in John that very thing. In John chapter 6, we'll go up to verse 47, 47 and 48. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." And that's what he was going on to tell them later, that if you had that they had to eat of him. And that was quite confusing. And as I said, when you first look at that, first hear it, I would make me ask questions. But I wouldn't have left him. But Jesus says he is the bread of life. Just like at the woman at the well, he told her that he had, if you drink from this water that he had, he said, you'll never thirst. And in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." Well, how can you going to be filled if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness? That doesn't fill me. But it will fill you spiritually. And that's his whole point of all this that he's talking about in John 6. It is spiritual food that he has that you are going to eat of his. And he is the bread of life. And where could we go? Because without Jesus, we're lost. And Jesus is telling those of the Jewish leaders in John chapter 8. We're going to look over at John 8 and we'll look at verse 24. John 8:24, he says there, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." If you die in your sins, you're lost. So without him, if they didn't believe in him, and they weren't at that time, they were going to be lost, he's telling them. And that's what he tells his disciples as he sends them out into the world in Mark 16:16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." If you don't believe, believe what? That Jesus Christ is our Savior. That he's the Son of God. That he come down and he died on a cross for me. I like to get personal with that because it is me he died for. I don't want to be selfish because he died for every one of us. But he did die for me personally. And if you don't believe it, you're condemned. So without him, we are lost. Where could we go other than to him? And he is the only way to his Father, our God, our Creator. As he answers Thomas in John 14. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we're going to get to the Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider of this eternal salvation, it has to be through Christ. And Paul was telling those of Ephesus as well in Ephesians chapter 2. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 18 there. Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And to clear that up, "for we both have access" is Gentiles and Jew, is why he says it that way. All mankind, in other words, has access to the Father through Christ. And he says it again in Ephesians chapter 3. In verses 11 and 12 we see there, "According to the internal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." We have boldness and access to God through faith in him. Him, Jesus. Jesus is how we have access to God. Where else could we go to get that access? Where else can we go than to Jesus for the door to the pasture of heaven? Jesus declared that in John chapter 10. John 10 and verse 9. He said there, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is that door for us. And if we go through that door, he says we're going to be saved and we'll find pasture. Pasture to the sheep is what they live for. Jesus was the good shepherd. So that's why he talks of pasture. Pasture is something the Jews could understand and accept and have a realization of what it was. A good pasture meant everything. And if you got pasture, life's good. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm the door to it. Enter in. Where could we go than to Jesus? Because there's no other name that can save us. Acts chapter 4. After the healing of the lame man by Peter and John, they're taken to jail. Then the next day, before the Jewish leaders. And then Peter proves my point in verse 12. Chapter 4, 12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter has bluntly put it, Jesus is the only way. There is no other name under heaven that you can be saved by. Peter again speaks of this in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him all proper, to him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Through his name, the name of Jesus, we have the remission of sins. As Paul appeared before King Agrippa, he told him that Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he declared to Paul that salvation was through him, through Jesus. If you turn over to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, 18. Jesus is telling him that he's sending Paul to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus. Jesus is speaking and he says, in him they would be sanctified. They'd have the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance, eternal life. But it was in his name that it was going to be done. Where else can we go than to Jesus? Because he's our mediator between us and God. We can see this in Paul's writings to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 2, 5, 6, he says there, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due times. I'm testifying of him right now before you that Jesus is our mediator. We can go to him and act, he will act between us and God. This is also declared for us in Hebrews chapter 9, 14 and 15. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He is our mediator. A new covenant was created. We don't live under the old law. The old law was nailed to that cross with Jesus. It couldn't do all it needed to do. So Jesus was sent to die on that cross for us. By means of death, it says there, we have redemption. He paid the price for us. And we have a promise again of eternal inheritance. This fact of him being the mediator appears again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Hebrews 12, 24 says there, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood a sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So, Jesus is our mediator between us. I'd like to ask this question in conclusion. Where else could we go? If you want to get to heaven, there is no other. I think God says it best in Mark 9:7. Mark 9:7, he said, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. That was at Jesus' baptism. God appeared in a cloud and says, this is my Son. Hear him. He has the words of life. He is the bread of life. He is your mediator. So I'd ask you to think about something. Will we be like the many of the disciples who left Jesus? Or will we be like Peter and the other 11? That's my lesson for the day. We need to think earnestly about those things and realize that if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, unfortunately, you're lost. From what the scriptures we've seen here today, if they have faith in him, he said, they will be saved. If they didn't, you would be condemned. That's Christ's words, not mine. So, the opportunity is given you today. If there's anything that's amiss in your life, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have the opportunity as we stand and we sing the song of encouragement.